This is the November 14th, 2013 interview of Tim Kelso by Rick Kriebel for the Cooperstown Graduate Program's Research and Fieldwork course, recorded at Tim Kelso's house. So, Tim, tell me about your father.
Well, my father was a pioneer in a lot of ways. He was the first to do a lot of different things in agriculture. He was a very intelligent man. He loved to read. He went to 2 years to Hartwick College before he had to quit because his father died and he had to leave to run the farm. We had a large dairy farm just outside East Meredith, where actually probably is where he came acquainted with what's now Hanford Mills. We used to buy a lot of our feed down there. And he was acquainted with the Pizzic brothers who owned it at that time. He was always interested in history, and the history of the area intrigued him. He was very intrigued by Hanford Mills, and that's how he came to purchase it when it came up for sale, because he didn't want to see that part of East Meredith's history just disintegrate into nothing. He liked it very much down there, and he was again very much into the history, and again he just didn't want to see it turn into nothing or disappear. So
what goals or vision did your father have for the mill site?
His goals, he had big goals for the mill site. He originally, you know, had planned on turning it into a museum, which he did. He went all over the local countryside and scouted up pieces of machinery that would fit in there and other antiques, I guess, that would complement the mill itself. He had visions of it being, you know, a large tourist attraction. He also acquired the railroad tracks from Oneonta to Bloomville. And his hopes were there was to, you know, have walking trails and have horseback riding, so people could ride up and down the tracks. He actually bought 15 or 20 horses, which we had on the farm with that in mind. His ideas and his goals were to turn it into a nice Delaware County tourist attraction and preserve some of the local history.
Well, how often did he take you to the mill site?
Pardon me?
How often did he take you to the mill site?
When I was a kid, we went down there, you know, probably once a week, twice a week, as the feed department of it kind of got smaller and smaller, it was less frequent. But when I was a kid, we went down there quite a lot, you know, and I was always very intrigued with that place, and the people that worked there were very friendly. And I can remember going, getting chicken feed and other small animal feed and, you know, always wondering what it looked like, you know, where the chutes, where it came from. So the people would take me, took me on a little tour of the place. When I was a kid, I went there quite a lot.
What kind of activities or sites did the mill have at the time?
What did they have again, primary?
What sort of activities or sites did the mill have at the time?
I don't understand. What do you mean?
When you went there as a kid, what sort of buildings did they have at the mill? What kind of activities? You're talking about chicken feed and some other things, so could you elaborate on?
Well, they had, you know, they sold large animal feed, small animal feed. They always had the sawmill part was there. There was a lot of interesting places to go and places to look. They also had a hardware store. And that was always kind of interesting to look through as a kid, you know, because you always like to look to see what they had. You know, it was set up nice there. At the time when the railroad went through, it was always nice to see the, you know, the trains when they came in and went out. I mean, that was, they didn't go very fast because it was getting, the tracks and everything were getting kind of old. But, you know, there was a lot of interesting things to see there as a child, I guess.
Yeah.
And the buildings are pretty much the same as they are now. A lot cleaner, but I was always kind of interested in what they made, you know, in the back. That was a little bit before my time with the making the wooden boxes and the stuff that they made in, out and back. But
yeah,
it was a very interesting place to go as far as I was concerned. I always liked to go down there.
Okay. And you did mention making the boxes. What else did you like to do when you're at the mill property?
What else did I have to do?
No, what else did you enjoy doing?
Oh, you know, when you're kids, we enjoyed going out around the mill pond. You know, there was always, you know, frogs to catch and different things to look at. And I was always intrigued by the mill race and how the water got down there. We used to walk up there and up along the railroad tracks and look at the mill race and peer down into where the water went into the water wheel and, you know, look at a lot of things on what made the thing function by all means, you know. As, you know, kids growing up, that was something that interested you.
Yeah. So, what changes have happened to the mill in terms of what's available between then and now?
What changes?
Yeah.
Well, when my father had it, when my father took it over or bought it, you know, he kept a lot of the stuff that was there, and he went and he bought a lot more stuff and put there. And the big changes from that then to now are, you know, they had an auction there and they sold off a lot of the stuff that he had got. And maybe to a good point and to a bad point, I mean, he had bought a lot of stuff and there was maybe too much, maybe. The big changes from now then till now are, you know, as far as the buildings go, as far as everything goes, it's pretty much the same, only a lot more cleaner. And there's been some, the appropriate pieces that needed to be added have been added. And it's, I think, but I still feel though that when they did have the auction, they might have sold off a little bit too much stuff for what he had. Because he did have some very intriguing pieces there.
Yeah.
But, you know, to this date, it's when you go there, there's still plenty to see. There's no question about that.
What sort of things did they sell off at the auction that you think would have been really good there?
Well, they sold a lot of the machines. He had bought some big machines. I can remember going getting them when I was a kid. Some of them were huge. We had to winch them out of some buildings. And but from my recollection, they sold a lot of small stuff that could have been, still would have been interesting. But some of the bigger machines, again, that possibly could have been restored and made to work.
Yeah.
But, you know, they did keep an appropriate amount. And again, I think, you know, he was the type that liked to overbuy, so he might have had a few more things there than he needed.
So tell me more about these machines that were winched out and auctioned off.
Well, the machines that I can remember going and getting were like big wood lathes. And I think we got some gasoline motors, the old gasoline motors. But it was, you know, there was just a lot of old, in those days they made machines real heavy. I mean, they were cast iron, they were big and huge, and what you could, nowadays they made them a lot smaller, but, and you know, any machine back in those days was big because it was run by pulleys, and there was pulleys on the side of stuff, and a lot of different ways to make them operate. But again, there was lathes, and there were saws, some big, huge saws, and gasoline motors. There were some big gasoline motors, too, from what I can recollect. And I think they got rid of a fair amount of those. Of course, again, there might have been too many of each one, you know.
And what about some of the smaller items you mentioned that were interesting?
Well, he had a lot of, you know, small hand tools, and I think there was a lot of house stuff and a lot of just smaller hand tools and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, at what point did the mill have this auction?
They had the auction soon after, from what I can remember. I wasn't around a lot at that time. I lived over in Courtright. And from what I can remember, it was shortly after, you know, he sold it to the county or whoever he sold it to, and they just decided that there was too much stuff.
Yeah. So, how long did your father own the mill site before he sold it or handed it off to the county?
Well, I'm going to say 8 to 10 years. And I'm not really sure. That was quite a while ago. I know when we were in high school, which was in the late 60s, early 70s, you know, we worked there during the summers, cleaning it out and getting it set up so he could, you know, while he was transforming it from a working, I guess a working business into more of a museum. There was a lot of work that had to be done in the, you know, in the mill race, there was a lot of cleaning that had to be done, and I would say he had it 8 or 10 years.
Okay.
And, you know, that's a guess.
And who within the local government ran the mill after he gave them the ownership?
I believe, like again, I wasn't around much in those days. I was working over in Courtright and didn't get over this way much. I believe, was it Kathman? I'm trying to remember who took over the when it was sold and the ownership transferred, and you know, people those are the people I think that made the decisions at that time.
Yeah. Do you remember hearing your father say anything about how he thought they were running the place?
Can I remember what my father thought about how they were running it?
Yeah.
He was always a little upset, I think, over the money that was involved. I don't think he was real happy when they sold off a lot of the stuff. And he was the type that would research everything to the max to find out what was right and what was wrong. And I think he had some hard feelings over the actual price that he got out of it and the fact that they sold a lot of the stuff. I don't think he was real happy with that.
Yeah. How did his view of what happened change with time?
I think as he saw a change, as he saw, you know, it start to become more of a, you know, an attraction, I think he lightened up on his feelings of that.
Okay.
I think at one time, I think he vowed never to go back, but he did. And for him to do that, he would have had to soften up quite a lot to do that. But I think once it was all over and done with, and it was still, you know, a preserved part of East Meredith history, I think he come to terms with that.
Okay. So, how did your relationship with Nell change as he got older?
How did my relationship with it?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, I don't think it ever really changed. I like to go there as a kid, and I still like to go there. You know, I probably don't go there as much as I should, because, you know, we're busy and there's always a lot of things going on. But my relationship hasn't changed any, I don't think, anything. I always liked it when I was a kid. I still like it today. I think it's a great thing for East Meredith, and I think it's a great thing for Delaware County and the local area. They do a lot of good things there, you know, which I hope to be a lot more part of now. And, my feelings are still the same from when I was a kid doing it now.
What are some of your favorite programs they offer?
What are the what?
Sorry. What are some of the your favorite programs they offer?
Well, I think the ice cutting is a great thing. They have, when they bring in, they bring in the old motors and the tractors, and they have the old-fashioned days there, and you know, the making the ice cream for the, in the wintertime at the harvest, at the ice harvest. I think the programs that they're having are good. I really do. I think that they're getting a lot of people involved. They're getting, you know, a bigger, spreading out and getting more people there. I think that's good. Actually, I don't think there's many of them that there's any of them that I don't like. I think they're all good ideas what they do there.
So, what are some memories of yours about the mill that stand out the most?
What stands out the most?
Right, some of your memories of the mill, some of the most prominent memories, fondest memories.
Well, so, you know, starting when I was a little kid, going down there and getting, you know, grain and food and stuff for my animals, and, you know, being able to walk around the place, and, you know, it was always, again, it was always an interesting place to look around as a kid. And, you know, as you're growing up, when we were in high school, and when we were working on the, you know, my father was restoring it, and we had worked there in the summertime, you know, going down in the mill race, and, you know, and finding different treasures down in there that you normally wouldn't see, I guess, you know, just things that maybe people dropped and I always remember there was in the one room where they made the boxes, there was a big moose head hung there. And, of course, as kids, it was always fun to go up and punch that moose in the nose. You know, and to search through those rooms and, you know, and see what you could find. It was always another treasure, you know, another box, another tool, another something that you hadn't seen before. You know, going up in the upper parts of the building to see what were up there. Because you always could find something from years ago, something sometimes it took a while to figure out what some things were, or what that tool might have done, or what that pulley might have went to, I think one of the main things that I remember is looking in those back rooms where the boxes were made off the wall where the water wheel and the sawmill is. And looking at the, you know, at the time there was a potbelly stove back in there, and, you know, just trying to imagine how years ago people actually worked in there in the wintertime and stayed warm and what it must have been like, you know.
Yeah.
I think looking back in time and trying to imagine what those men must have had to do, you know. And again, you know, I always was amazed at the mill race and going out and how the water came in. We used to explore down over on the other side of the railroad tracks out back. It always used to be exciting when the trains came, of course. but there's a lot of things, you know, the hardware store, what was offered in there, you know, and it seems like you could always find some place that you'd never been before when there were kids around there.
Yeah. So, what would you say was your favorite part of the mill site?
When I was a kid?
Yeah.
I would have to say, you know, those back rooms where they made the stuff, and that moose head was always the, you know, every time I brought a new friend in, I had to go and show him the moose head hanging on the wall. That's the part that most intrigued me, I think, is the water wheel and how all the pulleys and the belts worked and how everything must have been connected back and through there. And to me, that was the most interesting thing, how things worked and how things looked back in there. Because you could really look back, you know, the worn floors, you could, you know, actually look back and see the history.
Yeah. So, what would you say was the biggest lesson you learned from there? And it's kind of going off of what you said about going back and seeing the history, but was there any particular incident where you thought, like, wow, this connected with me more than usual?
I think the biggest thing was the water power, you know, and the mill race itself, and how the water came in there, and, you know, how people engineered that to set up with that water wheel, and to watch how they'd set up all the pulleys to run the different machines throughout that whole thing. That was one of the most intriguing things that I ever seen, you know, when I was a kid, to figure out how they could run so many things off one big wheel.
How did seeing all these things at the mill inspire you as a child and in what you did later?
Well, I guess growing up around that history, I've always liked antiques. I've always, you know, I still go to auctions and buy antiques. And in fact, I was at an auction this past weekend where there was a great big, huge wooden wheel that easily looked like it could have come out of there, you know. And of course, I was interested in it, but so weren't two or three other people, and it brought more money than I wanted to spend for it. But that easily could have came out of the mill itself, you know, because back in those days they used wooden wheels, you know, 6-7 inches across to run the big belts that powered the thing. And that easily could have been something would have fit in there. So I think if anything, the mill inspired me to, you know, number one, the local history, and number two, you know, the value of preserving antiques and what they are.
Yeah. So what have you done in connection with local history?
What have I done what?
In connection with local history.
What have I done?
Yeah,
the only thing that I do with local history is I look for, you know, I go to auctions and I look to buy pieces of local history. Mm-hmm. I'll give you some examples of that. I just bought some Meredale Farm milk bottles a little while ago. The Meredith Inn closed up a couple, 3 years ago. I went up and got a fair amount of stuff out of there. It was memorabilia from there. And I look for when these places close. Actually, I got an old barrel that came from the creamery down in Davenport Center. It was a piece of where my father went to school, up on the corner of Turnpike Road and Kelso Road. There was when the guy restored it, he found a piece of wood in there that had, actually, didn't I think my great-grandfather's name or my grandfather's name kind of carved in it. So he cut that out and brought it down to me. That's the kind of stuff that I like.
Yeah. So do you take these antiques and fix them up and keep them in your house? Or?
I keep them in the house. I'm trying to think where that piece is. I think that piece might be up in the barn. The milk bottles are here in the house. A lot of the stuff, yeah. If it's small enough, I keep it in the house.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that. I like that part of the history of the area.
Okay. So, going back to the mill, tell me about some of the people you saw there.
As a kid?
As a kid, adult, visitors, staff.
Well, as a kid growing up, you saw all your neighbors and stuff there. I mean, the creamery used to be in Davenport Center. So a lot of the people from this way that took their milk to the creamery, of course, always stopped on the way back through to pick up what they needed, you know, at the mill site. So you saw your neighbors. You saw, you know, some of the local town people around. You saw the people that worked there that you only saw, you know, once a week, once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And, as any one of those older gathering places, you know, people always had to stop and chat for a while and talk about what was going on. Because at that time, you know, this area was all dairy farms. Hmm. And dairy farms on every road. So there was plenty of people coming and going, you know. So that was kind of the place you saw your neighbors that you didn't see only once or twice a week.
Okay. And so, in addition to being a gathering place, in what other ways did the mill affect the community?
Well, employed people. I mean, there was people that worked there. Again, people gathered there, you know, went there to do their business.
Yeah.
They went there, you know, not only to buy things, but, you know, a lot of times they took their lumber there to be sawed. I believe, well, they wouldn't have gone on the train there because the station house was down about a quarter mile around the corner from there. But it was, you know, an interesting place, you know. Where, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in what ways did the community affect the mill?
Well, the community, you know, brought business to the mill, so it had plenty of, you know, ways to prosper,
mm-hmm.
you know. And as the community, you know, started to change over the years, as dairy farms started to dwindle and as larger mills came into play, you know, the mill's business, you know, deteriorated to a point where, you know, it wasn't worth it for them to be in business anymore. So the community played a big part in the prosperity of the mill.
So what replaced the dairy farms as they started to move out?
Well, second family homes from the city. People selling off, you know, part of their properties to second homeowners and the homeowners, you know, the price of milk was poor. Mm. And the dairy farming either went out of business or they got bigger. Mm. And where there was once many, many dairy farms, you know, there's few and far between now.
Yeah.
And so, but it had to do a lot with, you know, the price of milk, price of feed, price of fuel, price of labor. You know, it was hard to get good help to work on the farms. And that all played into the decline of the dairy farm in Delaware County.
Did the community try to do anything in response to these new economic challenges that arose?
In response to what?
Falling cost of milk, rising cost of labor.
No, there wasn't much that the community could do, actually. You know, the milk price is set by the federal government, and to an extent the feed prices are, and you know, there wasn't much the community could do, only